Willie wrote a song called Me and Paul. So can we do Me and Paul for you right now? All right. Well, it's been rough and rocky, Chapman, but I finally landed up right on the ground. After taking several beats, I'm surprised to find my mind still fairly sound. Nashville was the roughest, but I know I said the same about them all. Received our education in the cities of the nation, me and Paul. Almost busted in Laredo for reasons that I'd rather not disclose. But if you're staying in a motel there, be sure and don't leave nothing in your clothes. At the airport in Milwaukee, they refused to let us board the plane at all. They said we looked suspicious. I believe they liked to pick on me and fall. Well, it's been rough and rocky travel. I finally landed up right on the ground. After taking several readings, I'm surprised to find my mind still fairly sound. Yeah, Nashville was the roughest, and I know I said the same about them all. Received our education in the cities of the nation, me and Paul. On the package show in Buffalo, with us, Kitty Wells and Charlie Pride. So as long as we were sitting there, we'd come to play, and not just for the rap. We drank a lot of whiskey, so I don't know if we went on that night at all. I don't think they even missed us. I guess Buffalo ain't cured for me at all. It's been rough and rocky travel, and I finally landed up right on the ground. After taking several readings, I'm surprised to find my mind still fairly sound. Nashville was the roughest, but I know I said the same about them all. The cities of the nation, me and Paul. buses pretty much my whole life. But to this day, the longest country music bus ride I've ever taken still goes back to 1973, when I was a kid playing in Lester Flatt's band. Yeah. We finished playing our songs on a Wednesday night in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And on Sunday afternoon, same week, we had to be in Miami, Florida. That's a long ride, man. Finally got down to Florida. Pulled our bus up under this pretty oak tree. And there was an old gentleman standing under that tree holding court. He was cool. He was magical. He was mystical. Couldn't take my eyes off of him. He was so cool. Had silver hair. Smoked a cigarette. Had on a similar old Indian coat. Had a briefcase walking around in a basket with flip-flops, Bermuda shorts, and a bolo tie. It was a sight. Lester Flatt finally spoke up and said, "Well, I wish you'd live there. There stands Mr. Irvin T. Grouse." I said, "Now who is Irvin T. Grouse?" He said, "He's the gentleman who composed the famous song about the train called the Orange Blossom Special." Had to meet him, had to meet him. Got my camera. Jumped out of the bus, took Mr. Irvin Rouse's picture, shook his hand, and tried to talk to him. But I found out pretty quick that he wasn't home in his mind anymore, you see. But you could tell greatness had once been there in his old bones. It was so cool. In his good days, Mr. Irvin Rouse played the fiddle. He had a brother named Gordon that played the guitar. They used to travel all up and down the eastern seaboard in a Ford car, playing for nickels and dimes and quarters. With their hats on the corners. Not long before he passed away, a journalist from the Miami newspaper went up into the Everglades of Florida, where Irvin lived, to do the final interview of his life. The last question of the day was, "Mr. Irvin, you've written a lot of good songs. What you want to be best remembered for?" Irvin said, "How about that picture and that train and that song called the Orange Blossom Special that I came up with?" That was his answer. Played 10 million times. Here comes 10 million and one.